gentlemen, it's time for the Action in the Main Attraction here on the Sweet Science Class.
What's up, everybody? Thank you for joining today's episode. And today, right off the bat, before we get into anything, I just want to say, please, if you have not, go like our Facebook page, go subscribe to our YouTube channel, and go follow our podcast on your favorite podcast outlet. Those are the best ways to stay in touch with us, following us, getting the best boxing news, behind-the-scenes footage, interviews, podcast and video form, and we really appreciate it if you do that. All right, now to the fun stuff. Today, we're just going to be talking about the DAZN event, the Showtime event, Tank Davis's future, and then at the end, we'll touch on what we can expect this weekend. So as always, I got Felix and Jakeem standing by. So what's up, fellas?
What's going on, Sweet Science Class? Hope y'all had a great weekend. Had some great fights. Looking forward to the next ones.
Yo, what's up, fellas? What's up, everybody out there listening? Man, we coming off a good weekend in Dallas. Let's get to it.
Yes, I didn't mention that at first, but the Sweet Science Class was actually live at the DAZN event. We got approved for media coverage. That was our first time to get approved as a team, so we were very excited. We didn't know a lot. You know, we went in kind of just eyes open, ears open, trying to learn and pick up as much as we could, and I feel like it was a very educational experience. I feel like we did pretty well. It was extremely fun. We got to see a lot of great fights up close, get to see a lot of behind-the-scenes footage. Tell them a little bit about it, Jakeem. I mean, what were some of your favorite parts of that night?
Yeah, man, it was well, first of all, I want to tell y'all that, you know, I never told y'all before, but I appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity to do stuff like this. And, you know, boxing has become, like, my number one sport over the past 5-6 years. And so, first of all, I want to appreciate y'all. But man, the card or the event was wild. Like, it was really cool, and like you said, it was a learning experience. Like, I went in, you know, I kind of just chilled a little bit, kind of watched everybody else, how everybody else was moving and doing things. There was a lot of stars there, trainers, boxers. At one point, we went down on the floor. We seen, like, all the DAZN people. It was a really good experience, and I think the best part was the press conference. Like, we were right there, like, face to face with Eddie Hearn and Bob Arum and the fighters that fought. It was really cool. Like, I expected it to be more, you know, everybody trying to compete and do this and that and trying to get their questions out, but everybody was cool. It was calm. They call on you. Like, if I raised my hand, Eddie Hearn would have called on me to ask. But, you know, I just kind of sit back and watched everybody else. I was giving Dustin, you know, some questions to throw out there, and Dustin was pressing Bob Arum for a little bit, got a little fired up, but it was a cool experience, man. Like, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it almost felt, at certain times, it sounds corny, but I would just look around, and I was almost just feeling like, is this real? Within 10, 15 feet around us, we got Eddie Hearn, Bob Arum, Chris Mannix, Brian Kenny, Sergio Mora, Devin Haney, Terrence Crawford, Dan Raphael. It was an insane, amazing experience, and, you know, we hope to have more of that. Let's just get into the two main events of that actual night. Start with Tevin Farmer. Took on, I think it was Francois. Tevin Farmer did his thing. I mean, what'd y'all think about that?
I'll be honest, I didn't really watch the fight all the way through. I worked that night, but I rewatched all the other fights. That fight, I kind of went on social media before the fight, and everybody was kind of talking about it as one-sided and stuff. So I was like, I don't really need to analyze this one. Let me just skip over this. But y'all were at the event. I mean, y'all were pretty up close and personal. Do y'all feel like Farmer can take it to the next level? That's a question I have for y'all, because I didn't watch the fight, but that's just something I'm wondering, because since I didn't watch it, I know there's some questions that may have got answered or may have not got answered. So I want y'all to kind of fill me in on that.
Well, Felix, you said that you didn't hardly watch the fight because you was working, and I was in the arena. I don't think the people that was there was hardly watching the fight because it was. I mean, Farmer, he's skillful. He's defensive. He's everything you want in a fighter when it comes to that. But offensively, it's just not there. He don't have the power. He's not. His style's not really aggressive. And yeah, he won the fight. What Dustin could tell you in the arena, like, everybody was booing him. And I'm sure y'all seen it on TV. He was booed. And they was cheering. What's his name, friend?
Francois.
They was cheering for him, which I don't know why, because I feel like in a weird way, he dominated the fight, even though he really didn't do much offensively. But he dominated the fight. So I really didn't get that, like, why the fans were booing him.
Do you think they were booing him maybe because they felt like he didn't leave it on? You know what I mean? He probably just was on cruise control.
He wasn't even on cruise
control. See you break a sweat.
I wouldn't say he was on cruise control, though. Like, he's just not an offensive fighter. And I think, like, his style is not very fan-friendly. And for the next level, especially if you want to be a star, you gotta fight offensively. Like, Floyd, you can kind of compare him to Floyd, but Floyd still is precise with his punches, and he does a little more than Farmer. Farmer's not that precise, and he doesn't have power. And he has the skill set for the next level. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, you got to throw punches and come forward. You can't just be defensive.
Yeah, he kind of has that Pernell Whitaker defensive style. Not saying he's Pernell Whitaker, that people don't put words in my mouth. But that style, because he stands in the pocket, and he's good at dodging and doing all that. But he's not offensively... He's not up there with those guys. That's probably, I don't know. I'm just anxious to see what's next because he's been pretty active. I think Dustin said he's fought like 5 times in the last, what, year?
This was his 5th straight win in like 11 months exactly.
Yeah, so he's active. He's a throwback, if you think about it. So he said he's fighting all these fights because he wants the big fight. And I think we're about to get into that. I mean, there was another fight, but we'll go ahead and talk about that later with the whole tank thing. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if he can go to the next level, not because of his skills. It's like Jakeem said, it's his style. If fans are booing you and you dominated a fight, I mean, what's the potential of you becoming that next level guy?
I agree that he's not the greatest offensively, which is unfortunate because defensively, I want to say I'm a Farmer fan, and I am, but I'm almost more of a fan of his defense now that we're kind of, you know, breaking it down, because he really doesn't have a ton of offense and a ton of power. But I will say that even our camera guy, let me throw a shout out to the hardest worker of our crew at the DAZN event Saturday night, Kyle Shortis, our photographer, camera guy. He never took his eye out of that camera from first bell to last bell of every fight. And he was watching the Farmer fight probably closer than almost anybody, because a lot of people seem to be getting bored and booing. Kyle was, you know, staring down the camera, and he was saying that, you know, just taking all those pictures and watching him and staring at him, that he was pretty amazed by Farmer's head movement. He said that just any time that Francois guy would throw, you know, Farmer was just moving. Like, defensively, he's amazingly elusive. Like Felix said, I said it today, he reminds me of, and I was almost afraid to say it, just like Felix said, don't put words in my mouth, he's like a semi-Sweet Pea on the defense, but less offensive than Sweet Pea was. And sometimes Sweet Pea was criticized for not taking advantage of getting out of the way sometimes, making more of those counter efforts. So, yeah, Farmer, I wish he'd step up the offense, and that's the only thing that keeps me afraid of him going against who we'll touch on later. So let's just move on to the main event of that night. 140, unification, Jose Ramirez, Maurice Hooker, in Maurice Hooker's backyard. The crowd, I mean, we could say personally, it was very energetic. They were very pro-Hooker that night. And, you know, sometimes you don't always get your wish. That, I think it was a little disappointing for the arena that night. But it was a great, great 6-round fight. Did you get to watch that one, Felix?
Oh, yeah, I sure did watch that one. That was a hell of a fight, man. Hooker, I don't think he got... I saw a lot of people saying that he got shut out. I saw a few people saying that, but I don't agree with that. I think he probably got, like, 2 rounds.
I think I gave him two rounds that night.
Yeah, I think he probably went back. Yeah, if I go back and score it, I'll probably give him two rounds. I know on the last pod, I think it was the last pod or the one before, we're talking about, I think I mentioned that Ramirez would probably be too busy for him. And I think that's exactly what happened. I mean, Hooker was, don't get me wrong, Hooker was going blow for blow, and he was throwing his shots too, but that pace, after a while, and we know Robert Garcia, man, he's like the mastermind of that style. So I think he just made Hooker feel uncomfortable, man. When you got a guy coming at you from the opening bell all the way through six rounds, and he's just coming and coming, and you're giving this guy and hitting him with everything you got, because he landed some shots, and Ramirez wasn't even fazed. And I think Robert Garcia even said that. He's like, you know what? You took his best shot. Don't even respect his power. Just go. Go get him. And that's what he did, man. I know I also heard some people talking about an early stoppage, which I don't agree with. I think after what happened last weekend, I think this is something that we're going to be seeing quite a bit. We need to get used to it. And some we might have some situations where it does get called a little early. But I'd rather be a little early than too late. So, great fight, man. Wow. That 140 division is stacked. It is stacked. I'm just imagining Pro Gray and then Ramirez hopefully next, because that is going to be – honestly, I don't even know who's going to win that fight. I like Pro Gray. I feel like he's the more talent, the more athletic, but the style that Ramirez is coming with and the fact that I'm a really big Robert Garcia fan and how he trains his fighters and basically like game planning. I feel like Robert Garcia is really good at game planning. If he can game plan right, Pro Gray might be in trouble too, because Ramirez is coming.
Just being inside that arena, that fight was amazing. I don't know how it looked on TV, but it was a really good fight. Like, I wasn't even keeping score. I was just looking at the action. And I didn't even know when they stopped, I didn't know what round it was. Like, I was just so focused on the action in that fight. And, like, y'all had a win in two rounds. Y'all had Hooker win in two. It probably looked like that.
Yeah.
It just was a lot of kind of going back and forth. But the difference was that Ramirez, he could take Hooker's punches. But Hooker couldn't take his punches.
Yep.
And that's where you see the difference. And that sixth round, he got caught with a left hook and had his head bouncing back. And I don't know why people were complaining for an early stoppage. Like, I think it was, the stoppage was legit. Especially, like you said, from what happened this past weekend. Hooker, he was hurt. He was hurt at that point. And it was a good fight. Like you said, Ramirez, the 140 division is popping. Ramirez, like he's a unified champion right now, and in about a couple months we're gonna have another unified champion. I really want to see how that's gonna go. And also, I don't know if y'all seen it on TV, but I did hear Crawford said that he will go back down to fight the next unified champion.
I did hear something like that, but I don't know if he said that he would go down to one. I know he said that he fight the undisputed, so I don't know if they're gonna meet at 140 or come up to 147 or. But yeah, he did say that he would fight the big dog at 140.
Right. I never heard him about him going down, but I've heard a while he that fight. The plan was to get maybe Jose Ramirez or Regis Progre to unify the division, which they're getting damn close to one way or the other, and maybe moving up and eventually having like a Bud Crawford pay per view. Just desperate to keep him fighting in-house, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and Dustin, if you remember, Aaron kind of threw a jab at Crawford for coming out with Maurice Hooker, the natural fighter, and he said he would get Ramirez to fight Crawford. So, I mean, that's definitely in the works. But right now, Ramirez, he's the man at 140. He unified, he beat Hooker. So right now, until whatever happens with Pro Gray and Taylor, right now, Ramirez, he's the man at 140.
You know, and big ups again to Robert Garcia and them, that crew, man. I don't think we give them enough credit. Because if you look at all his fighters, even in losses, they were in fights. I mean, you can look at his whole roster, man. Them guys, like, the game plans, everything he comes with. All the way back to, I almost went a whole episode without talking about Floyd, but never mind. Like, when Maidana fought Floyd, yeah, I had Floyd winning, but that game plan was, that was the game plan to beat Floyd. He didn't execute it 100%, but that game plan was perfect. Every time this guy has a fighter in the ring, man, it's just like this. He just got his game plan, man. He's like a freaking Bill Belichick of boxing.
I was just gonna say that.
Yeah, like he just knows. He gets the most out of his fights. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. because he doesn't have a roster full of A fighters and stuff. Like, he has a lot of like C plus, B fighters, stuff like that. But when they fight an A fighter, they come with it, man.
Josecito Lopez is a perfect example against Keith.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Brandon Rios, he's always in a dog fight.
He was training Margarito in the Cotto rematch.
Yeah. The only negative thing about him.
Go ahead, Jakeem, finish up.
I want to also, like, because we gripe and complain about promoters not making fights happen. So, man, like, I can speak for Dustin, too. Just seeing Eddie Hearn and Bob Arum up there talking, like, together, and the night that they put on in Dallas, man, that was amazing. And we need to see more of this promoters, or the big promoters, co-promoting events, putting it together and making, like, good fights, unification fights, title fights, like, it's awesome, man. Like, I'm really glad that they're working together.
Talking to you, Al Heyman.
Yeah. I was about to say that. It feels like boxing has turned into back when WWF and WCW were at, like, their peaks. You know, one had, like, the NWO going on, and the other one had the whole, you know, all their little crews. That's when, like, Nation of Domination and and all that little era. So, it's like we got two different leagues of boxing.
You even had Raw versus SmackDown.
Yeah.
That's really what this is becoming.
Willing to do business. Bob Arum is an OG. Bob Arum is an OG of the game, so he'd be the one more willing to work with others.
He seems it.
So this PBC, this is like, I'm telling you, he's Al Heyman's like the Eric Bischoff, and he's not letting nobody go. They didn't even acknowledge Bud as a champion.
No.
Yeah.
They leave like him off as much right as there. They can.
That tells you everything right there. They didn't even acknowledge a champion in that division.
Yeah, I agree. I'm one of the first to speak out with my disgust for this whole situation with PBC and Al Heyman. He seems to be the one. I don't care what you tell me, what you argue with, what you debate me with. I've seen too many guys work together too often. It's pretty obviously Al Heyman. He likes to keep it in-house. Seems like he likes to overpay fighters for less than amazing fights, just keep them above float, which I respect. These guys need money, and I appreciate that part, but I don't know. And it's not always a bad thing that it's in-house. You know, we just got Pacquiao Thurman. We're about to get Porter Spence. We can get some Ugas thrown. You know, like, it makes sense most of the time, but you have to cross over. They have to get Bud involved. And it just doesn't make any sense. He's got a belt. Why don't y'all want that belt? And I'm hearing they're acting like they just want to write that belt off. That belt doesn't exist no more.
Yeah, the WBO. They said that they're not going to acknowledge that belt anymore.
That's what I heard today, too.
That's weird because Andy Ruiz has that belt, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, so you're basically saying that Andy Ruiz, you're taking a belt away from him.
But you see what they did? They let Andy Ruiz go over and fight Joshua. It was a low-risk, high-reward situation. So, definitely not a dummy. But his way of business is kind of, you know, like you said, like to keep it in-house.
It makes sense. Don't get me wrong. It makes perfect sense. It's just, when is there going to become a point where you can't be recycling all this? Because remember, there was a long stretch where he didn't even get his top guys to fight each other.
Yeah.
You know? And now, all his top guys are fighting each other. So, once this is done, what's the next thing, man? Because you can't just keep recycling PBC fights. Like, eventually, you got to fight the top dogs, even if they're with other networks.
You have to. I mean, there's no way. After Porter Spence, you could maybe get Manny with the winner. But I mean, yeah, you've quickly fizzled out. I mean, he had a good window. You know, he had those four or five really popping. They fought each other. Some lost. The steam's gone from that. You can't really keep doing that. Speaking of cross-promoting and possible future fights and fights we really, as fans, want and hope to see and hope we get, Tank Davis fought on the Showtime card. Took on, I believe, his name is Ricardo Nunez. Second-round knockout. He did what he's been doing. Tank's just been walking out, knocking dudes out in a round or two and barely breaking a sweat. I mean, what y'all's take, guys? I didn't even really get to see. We were at the DAZN event. Didn't get to see the fight live, but I looked up, watched the highlights. It seemed like there wasn't a whole lot to see. Some people were saying it was also a quick stoppage, like the Hooker Ramirez I think, yeah, like the guy said, you're going to see that more with the several deaths thing. And I didn't get to throw this in earlier. If you think the Ramirez-Hooker stoppage was early, you're a savage barbarian, because we were pretty close, and Hooker's neck was launching backwards. He was done. He got hit with about 7 clean, unanswered. He was done. He even admitted it in the press conference that he was out. So stop with all that. Now, the Nunes, I watched it. I don't know. Maybe a tad early. He was going to get stopped, and you just have to get used to that. All right, so what's y'all's take, fellas? Felix, I mean, I think you actually were the one who got to see it, the whole thing live, maybe.
Man, there's really not much to analyze or anything like that. It's pretty much the same thing we've been seeing. Tank fighting a guy that probably shouldn't be in the ring with him, maybe a little too small. It's time for Tank to take that next step. And I'm already sold. I don't know about y'all. I know y'all are like, oh, I need to wait and see. I need to see him fight this guy. I need to see him fight Farmer. I'm so, like, the eyeball test that I see, I'm going to put my money with Tank against anybody. That's just me. I'm going to hear, oh, Lomachenko, oh, Teofimo, oh, this guy, I don't give a damn. He's taking him out. And it's not to take anything away from Loma. I just think styles make fights. Loma can be winning the damn fight. I just think eventually Tank is going to touch him. He's got all the tools, man, all the tools to be a pay-per-view type guy because of his style of fighting. We talked about Kevin Farmer getting booed in a dominant performance and not having a fan-friendly style. Tank is the total opposite. Tank, his style is like, reminds me of like Tyson in the 80s, you know, just coming out vicious and taking guys out early. Similar punching style, man, if you really look at it. He's like a baby Mike Tyson. Like I said, man, I feel like his style, he has what it takes to be a pay-per-view star. People will pay to watch Tank knock dudes out. People aren't going to pay to watch a dude just slipping punches and making guys, you know, looking like a matador. People aren't going to pay to see that. We did it with Floyd, but that was because everybody wanted to see Floyd lose. It wasn't because what Floyd was doing. It was because everybody was like, oh, this is the guy. This is the next guy. Oh, he's going to be Floyd. Oh, Robert Guerrero. Oh, he's going to be Floyd. Oh, you know, it's kind of – nobody ever paid for a Floyd fight except for, you know, hardcores like us to watch Floyd perform and be defensive and do. I'm telling you, it was because of what the other guy, everybody was paying to see him lose. And I think Tank kind of has that. His style is fan friendly, and the fact that he has the ties with the Money Team and Floyd, a lot of people don't like him because of all that. They feel like he's being pampered and I can't really argue that. They feel like he's being pampered, and the whole Money Team, the way they're bringing him up, and you got Floyd Diddy Combs doing all the presses and cutting him off on questions and all up in the videos, dancing, doing all, you know what I mean? So those things right there are what's going to make him a star. His style, the dislike, you know, he has the look, he has everything, dude. I'm telling you, this guy could be the total package. But I can't really back anything up with words and things like that because, like y'all said, he hasn't really fought anybody, and I can't argue that. I'm just telling you, from my eyeballs, I'm gonna ride with this guy.
I do have to admit, knocking out Pedraza is pretty great.
Oh yeah, oh hell yeah.
Jakeem, thoughts?
All right, so, man, last Saturday, no, it was nothing more than a homecoming showcase for Tank. Like, we've seen this type of fight the last two or three times he's been in the ring. You bring in a smaller guy who's moved up one or two weight classes, and Tank knocks him out within like 3 rounds. You know, it's getting kind of, you know, repetitive. As much as he can be a star, and as much as, you know, all the things that Felix said, like he has the look, the appeal, the style and everything, to me it's like, how are these fights helping him out in the future? Like, you can't be preparing yourself for a big name like Lomachenko if you not even getting the rounds in. And the guys you're fighting is not even competition to you. So all those 2 rounds fights, it's not gonna do you no good when you're trying to prepare to take that next level. Me personally, I would like to see him go against Farmer. I think he'll beat him, but I think he needs to see a fighter like Farmer. He needs to see like different looks and things like that, because I feel like he's hurting his career, and I think Floyd is hurting his career by making him take these little babysitting. He's not even taking steps, really. He's basically fighting the same fighter, like, every fight. Like, I know it's not his fault, the Abner Morris fight fell through. But even though Tank would have won, I felt like it would have been a good test for him as far as what Morris is, like, on a competitive level. You know, that's a step up in competition for him. And, yeah, Pedraza was probably, like, his biggest fight or probably best competitor, and he knocked him out. And that's good. That's the kind of fights we need to see from Tank. So until he steps it up in competition, man, honestly, I don't even care about seeing Tank fight anybody else.
I feel both y'all sides. I'm almost right in the middle. Like, I think he could be it. He looks like it, you know what I mean? But I want to see him step up.
Let your nuts hang. I said, let your nuts hang. Get the side.
I really want to see him fight Tevin Farmer. I think that's the most logical. It's been thrown around. It's been toyed at and teased about for a year, year and a half. Tank turned down a one-fight zone deal with Farmer, I think, 9-10 months ago. I think I heard it was for $4 or $5 million. He didn't have to join DAZN. He didn't have to sign with Eddie. Just a one-night thing. I'm sure it was Floyd. I don't like the way they're babying him because I do think he looks like he has the goods. The Pedraza thing is the thing that's keeping it there for me. If he didn't have that, I'd probably be all the way on Jakeem's side. And I think I'm there sometimes because I am sick of seeing this repetitive bring up a 126 guy to knock him out at 130 when Tank probably belongs at 135. Like, it's getting old and it's getting repetitive, but I always think back to Pedraza. And he did stop Pedraza, who's a very good fighter. He did go 12 with Loma. That was Loma's fight post-surgery, so who knows what would have happened. But still, Pedraza's a great fighter, so a stoppage there. And that was even, like, 2 years ago. So, but again, that was 2 years ago. He needs somebody else.
Well, in between the Pedraza and now, he hasn't had that many fights. So maybe their thing is, we just got to keep him active. Because remember, he had a lot of discipline issues, a lot of trying to make weight and things like that. So maybe I'm just trying to think logically because I don't know what the hell they're doing. I really don't. I don't know what their game plan is. I don't know nothing. I'm just trying to understand what they're doing. And maybe they're like, maybe we just got to keep them active and keep them in camps and for a couple of years. And then we can start taking those big fights because we can't have these long gaps in between fights and expect to beat the top guys.
I could see that. It could be that mixed in with maybe what I'm about to say. I think it's Floyd being Floyd and enjoying that zero.
Dude, I was just going to say that. I was just going to say, what if it's Floyd? Like, it's weird, but what if it's just Floyd? Like,
he doesn't want some camera time.
Like,
no, but if he loses, Floyd never wanted to lose. If Tank loses, Floyd thinks he loses that appeal. I think this is Floyd's way of keeping that zero.
Okay, but Floyd also, but I see Floyd, like, later on not caring if he loses because Floyd doesn't want anybody else to go undefeated. Like, what if Tank went undefeated and people are like, oh, man, like, what if he goes 50-0 in the future? He doesn't want any competition.
Man, Floyd wants to look good on camera in that Versace shirt, knowing that he got a good fighter that has a pill who's winning. And as long as Floyd's in that camera, I really don't think he cares, like, what goes on with Tank. Because you've got other fighters on top rank, like Shakur Stevenson. Like, he's taking steps up. He's probably due for a world title fight soon. And, yeah, Tank has been a world champion, but he's already been there. He's lost. But he's not taking no steps up. I really don't think Floyd, I think Felix just said that Floyd wants, he doesn't want nobody to beat his record. I really think that Floyd is kind of like that selfish guy. Like, he doesn't want, I mean, he's going to carry him along step by step and let him do him in easy fights, but I don't think Floyd wants his record beaten by anybody.
I don't either, but he's 32 wins away and probably 10 years away. He's going to milk him now, keep that zero, get money out of him, and then let him lose later to Loma or somebody. And remember when that time Tank disrespected Floyd on Twitter or whatever? Floyd's comeback was, all right, I should give you Loma. That makes you think Floyd thinks Loma would win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think so.
That's super petty of Floyd.
Conspiracy in science class. Yeah, that's crazy.
And you know, man, did y'all see Floyd's pants? His pants? Yeah. Did you see the outfit he was wearing?
I saw a picture of it. I saw a picture.
Hey, he ain't undefeated no more. That was it. He's 50. Hey, Floyd, you're 50-1 now.
What was wrong with his pants? I gotta look it up.
Fighting with him, man. Is he nothing? Oh man. Hey, look. And then his jacket. It seemed like he had it all the way zipped up, trying to cover his jewelry or something, maybe because he was in Baltimore.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, he didn't have no jewelry thing. It looked almost like he had his stuff zipped up to hide everything. Like, oh, man, I'm in Baltimore. I need to be careful around here. Oh, damn.
I just want to be on camera.
He always looks like a horse jockey or something.
Yeah, last month he was in Las Vegas with a turtleneck on, and it was 115 degrees in Vegas. I don't get it.
Yeah. But I guess that's what happens when you have too much money. You just run out of shit, man. You just start doing crazy shit, start buying. Hey, man, you probably only buy stuff because of the price. You don't even care what it looks like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's 50-1. I'm gonna go to his box right now.
Change his Wikipedia. He took one L July 27th in Baltimore, Maryland. And before we wrap this up, another major announcement that came a week or so ago, kind of a shock, considering the last 4 or 5 years Canelo has fought on his set dates. But Canelo will not fight on Mexican Independence Weekend, September 14th, 15th, 16th. It's usually around there. I'm not sure what the Saturday falls on this time. So no Canelo fight. He didn't agree with the Triple G fight, the Callum Smith fight, I guess, wasn't working. I think they really wanted the Kovalev. It seems like they're working towards the Kovalev very hard for maybe, I guess, December. So, I mean, what are y'all's thoughts on that? It's kind of odd not seeing Canelo in May or September.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. I'm wondering, the biggest question is who's going to fight? Because that's such a big date.
And it's so close, and nothing's booked.
Yeah.
Less than two months now.
I think if something has to be announced within the next...
Two weeks or less,
yeah. And if I was like a Triple G, I'd be trying to get ready. I'm trying to get all those Mexican fans back, you know, back in my corner, give them a show, and then set it up for... You know, and then call Canelo afterwards in front of all his people. Like, can you imagine that?
Yeah. I think everyone needs to be kind of reaching for this card, because this is a big one. If Canelo's not there, Floyd's retired, you want this date.
Yeah. Especially if you're a Mexican fighter or you're in a division where there's a lot of Mexican fighters that you can fight, because that's a big deal, man.
Leo Santa Cruz said he'd fight Tank Davis.
Whew.
I like it.
Oh, I would love to see that. I like Leo.
I do too. I like that fight.
That'd be a fast turnaround, though, right? He just fought.
Yeah, it would.
It's exactly 2 months coming off of a 4-minute fight.
Ah, true.
See, and Danny Garcia and Mikey should have tried to get this wrapped up, because I'm hearing it's not even going to happen. So they should have tried to get that date.
That's a good idea. Didn't think
of that. Yeah, that is.
You got a Puerto Rican versus
Mexico.
Yeah,
that's Mexico, Puerto Rico.
Come on, man. That'd be a pay-per-view event.
These people need to be thinking. If we're thinking of this stuff, they better be thinking of this stuff.
Now, the one that should have been on it, now I'll tell you right now, Eddie Hearn, as soon as Canelo made that announcement, he should have already been trying to book the Andy Ruiz AJ rematch in the United States. But I'm hearing rumors about other things. It's not official, but I'm hearing that they're going to fight in Cambridge or some shit, but that would have been the fight I would be trying to get, man, if you're thinking about dollars. But I don't know if they would want to make AJ feel that uncomfortable.
And I think they would probably say that's too short of notice now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for promotional reasons and all that. But, I mean, it's pretty much promoted.
Yeah, everyone wants to see it. Hearn and them need to be looking at, I mean, even at the very least, try to get you a Jaime Munguia. Like, you got to get one of these Mexican stars. You have to. You have to book them that date, but you got to do it, like, within the next week.
Yeah.
And this weekend, we're going to have a pretty good Fox card on Saturday. leading up to the main event, I'll start at the bottom. We got Andre Berto is going to be on the card. We're going to have old man John Pascal coming back, going to be taking on Marcus Brown. And for the main event, I really think this is going to be an entertaining heavyweight fight. I think it'll be a four-round or less type, smash them up, rock 'em sock 'em type fight. Adam Kalnacki versus Chris Areola. What are y'all thoughts on that fight? I think that's going to be, you know, it's not going to be super skilled, but actually both of those guys have good jabs. I'm not going to hate on Chris Areola's jab. They'll be decently skilled, but they're going to be big boys throwing bombs. That should be a fun TV fight.
Yeah, I really like Kalnacki. Probably one of my favorite like heavyweights coming up right now. So I like seeing him fight. I liked his last couple fights, and he should win this one easy. It should be an easy fight for him. But I'm gonna have to record it and watch it because I won't be able to watch it that night. But yeah, he's probably one of my favorite heavyweights coming up.
I might bet for an early knockout.
For sure.
For Kalnacki.
For sure. One way or the other. I mean, Areola.
Yeah.
He can get you.
It's a heavyweight division, man.
He's dropped some fellas in the first round or two. That there's going to be a knockout. I would throw money on somebody.
Yeah.
I've actually been a pretty decent Chris Areola fan since all the way back. I remember watching him be undefeated and rooting for him, and I remember watching him lose to Vitaly Klitschko and giving that very emotional interview, crying, very sad, apologizing to his fans. I don't know. I got a soft spot for Areola. I'm excited to see what he can do against Kalnacki, but I do like Kalnacki. He's a good, exciting fighter. So that should be a fun event. I believe there's a Friday DAZN event and a Saturday DAZN event. Both will be in the afternoons. And then the card we just mentioned on Fox Saturday night. Anything else? Any announcements, shout-outs, goodbyes?
Yeah, you know, I just want to give a shout-out to all the followers and stuff like that. I know I've said this many times, and the Sweet Science Class was present for a recent fight, doing media and stuff like that, and I always say, without y'all, it wouldn't be possible, because y'all are the ones liking it, and that's what they look at. When they, you know, I've gotten feedback from promoters and things like that, and that's the first thing they talk about is your likes, the views, everything like that, so... it's y'all that are doing this. We're just talking about boxing. We're not doing anything really special. We're just recording ourselves talking about boxing. Yeah, there's a lot of work behind the scenes, editing and behind the scenes stuff with, you know, communicating with other entities and things like that. But overall, we're doing what we love. And being able to get into fights and things like that, you know, we're doing it for y'all, and y'all are the reason why we're able to get all this stuff. So just a shout out to y'all, man. And keep the likes coming. The more y'all give us, the more things we can give y'all.
Yes, and after the event we went to Saturday, we're going to have more content coming to YouTube, and we're going to try to put more content on IG. So please follow us in both platforms. And as if you heard earlier, we're going to get rid of the group. So please just stay connected with us through the page and the other platforms, which is Instagram and YouTube.
Yes, like Jakeem said, we announced earlier today, we will break up the group on August 30th, which is our two-year anniversary. And I know that sounds like a weird, twisted way to celebrate an anniversary, but we feel it's for the best. So we need everyone in the group to hop over to the page. We need to build this page into the biggest monster boxing news media source on Facebook. Like we said, we've got the website, thesweetscienceclass.com. Under construction right now. We got a writing team murdering it. Shouts out to Landon, Zach, and the whole writing crew. Again, shout out to Kyle Shortis. He by far outworked all of us at that event Saturday. He crushed it. It's got to be physically and mentally exhausting to not put a camera down and not look through a camera for 7 hours straight, 8 hours straight. It's pretty incredible. So shout outs to him. Javi over in Austin is our other camera guy. I mean, Dominic's our media guy. We got people all over helping us in different ways. And without everybody, we wouldn't be able to do it. It's a very tight-knit crew. And the most important part of the whole crew, like Felix said, is y'all. If y'all don't like us, we don't get approved and get behind the scenes and get to do all this cool stuff that we, in return, bring back to you, the diehard fans. We're here for the casuals as well to help you learn, but we are for the diehards as well. We're going to bring you the behind-the-scenes footage. We're going to ask the questions that you want to hear, the answers that you want to know. So thank you so much for following us. We really do appreciate each and every one of you. The Sweet Science Class is out.